Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, a great slate of action in the conference, week number 11 in the SEC. But we'll take a look back. We'll turn back the clock, look at week number 10, and we'll start in South Carolina. Texas A&M was on the road. They were 2.5-point road favorites against the Gamecocks. The game was tied at 20, but in the second half, Lenora Sellers and the Gamecocks pull away, win that matchup by 24 points. Give me your thoughts about what transpired in Williams-Brice last Saturday night.
Well, my first impression watching the game, that really South Carolina athletically was on the same page as Texas A&M. It didn't look like there was an underdog in that competition. But with Texas A&M, they missed a couple of fourth and ones. They didn't get them. And South Carolina kept laying it down and kept moving the ball and kept moving the ball and pulled away at the end. I thought it was like Texas A&M. We've loved this team since they've been winning from the first game. But really, when it comes down to it, I thought South Carolina, which have lost some tough ball games, was a good or better football team that day.
Yeah, I did as well. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is that entering that game, South Carolina was only giving up 18 points per game to opposing offenses. They were holding opposing offenses to right in the area of about 102 rushing yards per game and had only given up 188 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, right? So I thought that they would be in that matchup. What I did not expect was their rushing attack to just dominate Texas A&M. We saw Texas A&M make second half adjustments against the LSU Tigers. They trailed 17-7, but won that matchup by 12 points. They didn't score a second half point in Williams-Brice. And more importantly, South Carolina rushed for 286 yards on the ground, 6.7 yards per carry. That was a dominant rushing attack on Saturday night.
Well, you can't focus on one guy. You got a quarterback that's outstanding. Sellers can run the football, then Rocket Sanders too. So you've got a defense that has to stop the quarterback keeping the ball, making something happen himself, and a tailback with big yard. And so that's what makes their offense so difficult to stop, is they can make great yards with that quarterback. And like I said, I think South Carolina is one of the better teams in the conference. Their record does not show how good they are. I think Texas A&M found out.
Yeah, South Carolina is 5-3 overall, 3-3 in the SEC. They went toe-to-toe with Alabama and Tuscaloosa, lost that matchup. They went toe-to-toe at home against top-ranked LSU early on, had Garrett Nussmeier and the Tigers on the ropes before LSU prevailed. So they have gone toe-to-toe and beaten up on some of the better teams in the conference. So they are a team to keep an eye out. Shane Beamer is doing a fantastic job in Columbia in 2024. The other matchup that we'll take a look at turned in Jacksonville, right? Florida did have a first half lead with DJ Lagway and the Florida Gators. He gets hurt. He gives way to a backup, and Georgia comes on in the second half. They win that ball game by 14 points. They get the win, but no cover. But there's still some cause of concern and some weaknesses in Georgia's offense and game overall that you have to be concerned about heading into week number 11.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of concern. If Lagway had not gotten hurt, I'm not sure this game would have ended up like it did, because Florida was in the game until he went out. And they had to go to a third-team quarterback, a walk-on. And then you've got a quarterback for Georgia who threw three interceptions. All three of those were pretty bad judgment interceptions. They weren't deflections. They were bad judgment. And now that Georgia did win, I'm beginning to wonder, can they go all the way with Carson Beck?
And that is the biggest concern. When you look at Carson Beck, he did step up. 25 of 40, 306 yards, did have three interceptions in the game. He's thrown six interceptions in back-to-back games now against Florida and Texas, respectively. He is going to need a better effort against top-ranked Ole Miss. They're 2.5-point road favorites. Coach and I will break that down a little bit later in the show. Coach, talk to me about the rushing attack of the Bulldogs. And I bring that up because they have come on in recent weeks. Trevor Etienne did get hurt on Saturday. The backups came in. They were still effective. Pounded the rock for 146 yards on the ground. But we talk about their dominance in recent years. They are 49-0 over the past eight seasons every time they rush for over 200 yards per game. They did it four times last year, won those games by an average margin of victory of 28 points per game. 2 years ago, they had rushed for over 200 eight times and won those games by an average margin of close to 30 points per game. They don't have one game this year where they've pounded the rock for over 200. Is that another cause of concern for the Bulldogs moving forward?
Absolutely. When we go back and talk about interceptions by a quarterback, it's usually passing in bad situations. When you can run the football, and Georgia is not running the football as well as they have in the past. When you can run the football, the quarterback gets to throw the ball in better situations where their defense does not expect the throw. And it kind of goes together. Lack of rushing yardage and more interceptions and turnovers because the defense is thinking about playing coverage and not stopping the run. I think that's what makes Georgia. I know they're going to keep on winning properly in their season. They just don't seem to be as dominant as they have been in the years they won the national championship.
Agreed. And I think another factor of why Georgia's maybe not as dominant from an offensive perspective as maybe they were last year, maybe from a points perspective, it's similar, but they're certainly not as dominant and consistent in regards to the passing attack. I think a big takeaway is that their leading receiver last year, Brock Bowers, has moved on to the NFL. When you're talking about one of the elite tight ends in college football, a safety blanket for Carson Beck, how important was he to that offense that we're not seeing Oscar Delp and the secondary options really step up?
Well, I mean, the tight end, being able to throw the tight end is so critical because if you think about downfield passing, that's not as likely to be as positive as a big tight end who's, it's usually a short yardage pass, high percentage pass. And that's one you can always go to. You can always find a big tight end. And their matchup is very well versus a linebacker, their arm length, their strength. That's a great package to work on. So that's what happens when a team like that doesn't have a dominant tight end. You'll see the percentage of passes go down because that's who they want to go to in critical situations.
We'll see how that game plays out a little bit later in the show. Georgia and Ole Miss. The other matchup we'll take a look at took place in Neyland Stadium Saturday night. Tennessee grinds out a 10-point win over Kentucky. They run the football early. Dylan Sampson with 142 yards on the ground and two big touchdowns. They have now won four straight over the Kentucky Wildcats in the series. Tennessee starting to come into form, Coach, at the end of the regular season. That's a positive for Josh Heupel and the crew.
Yeah, Tennessee is an interesting football team. They have not gotten back to that explosive offense that they had several years ago, and I think the one they would like to have, but they've got a great defense, and they've got a great defense. I think they've accepted the fact they're probably a defensive team that has a good offense instead of being a great offensive team that has a good defense.
Let's take a look quickly, Coach, at Mark Stoops. He didn't take the job at Texas A&M. They sort of forced him out, taking over that program. They've lost their identity. They're 1-6 in the conference. Is Mark Stoops on the hot seat in Lexington?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, Kentucky, they accept a solid football program and getting to a bowl game. And he's done a great job there. I think he's well-respected. Their team plays good football. They're having a tough time this year. They've lost some close games, but they've won a big game or two as well. So I really don't think that at Kentucky, I don't think those fans are as urgent to dump him. I just think he does a good job overall in a program that usually is not one of the top programs in the SEC.
We'll see how it plays out for both of those teams moving forward when we come back. the big game in Baton Rouge, LSU in Alabama. Which team will prevail? The SEC elimination game taking place in week number 11. Joe Lisi, Terry Bowden coming right back with SEC action week number 11 right here on the Bowden Blitz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden taking a look at the biggest games in the SEC this weekend. Week number 11, there's a dandy brewing in Baton Rouge. Alabama opens as a 2.5-point road favorite against the LSU Tigers. Both teams coming off a bye. Last time that Alabama played was back a couple of weeks ago against Missouri. They dominated that matchup 34-0. LSU coming off the road loss to Texas A&M where they held a 17-7 first half lead and allowed it to slip. They lost by 12 points. When you look at this game, Coach, last time back in 2022, this is the game that made Brian Kelly. He rolls the dice in overtime, goes for two, and defeats Nick Saban 32-31. Both teams need this ball game Saturday night. How do you think it plays out?
Oh, it's a great, great matchup here. I keep thinking about LSU, and of course, my expectations but they would be a little bit better football team. But when you get to big games with a good defense, they end up not having any running game. They've got to establish the run because when they don't, they throw the ball 50 times against Ole Miss and 50 times against Texas A&M, and they almost lose or lose the ball game. They have got to establish the run if they're going to be effective and not put so much pressure on their passing attack. And Alabama is really playing better now than they were. It's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, I think when you look at this matchup, Coach, for me, it does come down to the mobility of Jalen Milroe. And I say that because the last game that they played, the LSU Tigers, they had problems with the athleticism in the second half of Marcel Reed, right? So if Jalen Milroe gets going in terms of the RPO game and puts pressure on that LSU Tiger defense, especially on the edge, that could open up the play-action passing attack.
No, I think without a doubt, his ability to run really is what makes Alabama go. He is really the center of their offense. And against LSU, that will be a problem for them. As I look at this game and I look at who's going to win this game, I see him being at Alabama and making the plays that he does, giving them the advantage against LSU and winning that football game.
So now when you look at the offenses right now, Alabama is averaging 177 rushing yards per game. They're the more dominant rushing attack. LSU was only averaging 115 on the ground. And I bring that up because there is potential bad weather in the horizon. There's a hurricane brewing that's potentially going in the Gulf of Mexico, Hurricane Rafael, which could bring rain, wind, high winds of 40 Meyer and LSU. How much of a factor, if the weather does play out that way, do you give the edge to Alabama in terms of this ball game?
Well, you know, if they're having a downpour at the game, again, I've coached at LSU several times. The field is in great shape. It's not going to affect the ground. If it rains hard during the game, that could be a huge factor. And I think that would definitely play in Alabama's hands because I've said it before, when LSU gets against a good team, a good football team, their running game goes way downhill. And they rely so much on the passing game. If that were to happen, I would almost say no way can you throw the ball in that kind of weather. But again, I still think without rain, I think that Alabama, because they can run the football with their quarterback and their running backs, Nussmeier is not a running quarterback, and they have not been able to run against good football teams. I just worry. I think Alabama has the edge here.
Yeah, Alabama averaging 254 passing yards per game. LSU averaging 332 through the air. LSU is converting 49% on third down conversions. On the flip side, Alabama converting at a 40% rate in terms of their third down opportunities. Coach, when you look at Alabama, two road games in particular, Vanderbilt and Tennessee, they were in those games but lost. How much is that a factor, not being able to step up on the road so far on a consistent level for Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, it's tough to say that that's going to be a factor in the game. But when you think about it, there's no tougher place to play than in Baton Rouge. I think that at this point in time of the season, you've played in so many tough stadiums and so many loud stadiums. At this point, I don't think it's as big a factor late in the ball game. You've worked with it. You've understood it. You know how to call plays and listen to each other during the game. I don't think the stadium being an away game will have as big a factor this late in the season.
I like LSU to strike the upset, Coach. I do lean to the under 58.5 because I think both teams will want to establish the run to at least see how this game plays out if weather is an option and a factor in this ball game. So we'll see. That's a 7:30 kick under the lights in Death Valley. We mentioned the early game. It's Georgia 2.5-point road favorites in Oxford. Last year, Georgia dominated this ball game by 30-plus points and put up a 50 spot. It was all Carson Beck. But this is one of the top-ranked rush defenses now in college football. I'm talking about the Ole Miss Rebels allowing well under 3.5 yards per carry and less than 75 rushing yards per game allowed to opposing offenses. Ole Miss potentially can be live in this matchup.
This is one of those games. I mean, every year we see Ole Miss having a great season and then facing a top team and not coming through, and it's always because of their defense. They've got a great defense. They're probably more of a defensive team than an offensive team. And I think as we look at this game at Georgia, I'm really looking at Ole Miss to have a great chance to upset Georgia in Oxford because they are so good on defense. And I think Georgia has shown that they lack the ability to run when they have to or pass when they have to. They're not quite as strong as their championship teams. And I think if you're going to go for an upset, I think you pick Ole Miss in this case.
Yeah, Georgia's defense is rock solid, holding opposing offenses to only 187 passing yards per game. They're holding opposing quarterbacks to 55% completion percentage and have only allowed 8 passing touchdowns. They were able to shut down Texas and Quinn Ewers for much of that matchup. We'll see how it plays out. Jackson Dart, Coach, now 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, completing well over 71% of his passes. Do you believe Lane Kiffin opens it up early and often?
That's part of his offense. And the more you watch Jackson Dart, the more you see how good he is. He's really one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the country. The more I've watched him this season, he is incredible quarterback. And I see him maybe getting the difference. 1 or 2 plays, 1 big play, and that'll give Ole Miss a chance to beat Georgia.
Ole Miss averaging 377 passing yards per game. We'll see how it plays out. Early kick in the Grove. We'll come back with more Bowden Blitz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, breaking down week number 11 in the SEC. We'll turn our attention to Austin, Texas. Top-ranked Texas is a 21.5-point home favorite over Billy Napier and the Florida Gators. Texas coming out of a bye week, well-rested in regards to this matchup. For Florida, they got to go yet on the road, Coach, in a very difficult environment, potentially with a backup quarterback, DJ Lagway, a game-time decision. If he can't go, it'll be true freshman Aiden Warner that did play in the fourth quarter against Georgia, 96 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT. This is going to be a very difficult matchup for Napier to potentially win this game and keep it within the 21.5-point number.
The quarterback situation is everything. When they go from Lagway, and you remember last week against Georgia, they were winning with Lagway. They were playing head-to-head. They were winning the football game. And when he went out with that hamstring, they were no longer in the game. Georgia is separated. I think that's the number one thing that happens this game. If Lagway is playing, I think they can play and keep the game closer. I like them in that 21 points. But if he can't play, I don't know what they're going to do because there's such a big separation between their second-team quarterback and their third-team quarterback.
Coach, when I watched that game against Vanderbilt, it was a game that, you know, Georgia had dominated Texas the week prior. They go on the road, the Longhorns, then they face off against, you know, a team that was very gutty and battle-tested in the Vanderbilt Commodores. They were up by 14 points, but one thing I didn't like about Steve Sarkisian and that offense is the lack of killer instinct to potentially go by 21. It's almost like they feel they could play with anybody and they could turn it on or turn it off at any given moment from an offensive perspective. But in the long haul, that type of mentality potentially can leave you vulnerable for potentially an upset against some of the underranked teams in the SEC.
Well, Ed, you're exactly right. And I think you're talking about the way they got into halftime. They did not have that killer instinct where I thought Texas could have put the game away before halftime, and they chose to almost sit on the ball and not try to be dynamic in what they were doing. That will hurt you in the games down the road. Texas, if they can win this week, and they're supposed to win, they will have some huge games down the road. They've got to accept the fact that offensively, you got to let it loose. You've got to play to win, not play to not lose. And again, that's the only thing I saw of Texas in the past. They play a little bit not to lose. I don't know if it's a high expectation level or being afraid, but you've got to play and let it loose if you're a Texas against the competition they're going to have. Like I said, if Legway's playing, they could give him a good game at Florida. If he's not playing, I'm not sure this will be the game.
Coach, if Texas does in fact make it to the college football playoff, and let's just say they do struggle from an offensive perspective, do you feel that Sark would turn away from Quinn Ewers to potentially Arch Manning in that type of situation?
No, I don't think yet. I think they are clear in they're number one, number two. I think they think that Ewers is a better quarterback right now, that they've got a great Manning is a great quarterback for the future. If they were just to have a totally flat day, but I think if he would have made that decision, he had a great opportunity to make it earlier in the season, and he chose not to make it. I think that's just a case of your senior, veteran is more prepared to win games right now than your freshman or sophomore quarterback.
Coach, when you look at Florida, they're 4-4. Let's say they drop this game, they move to 4-5 overall. Do you feel like 6 or 7 wins is enough to save Napier's job, especially knowing that they had one of the hardest schedules in all of college football and certainly the hardest schedule in the SEC this year?
Well, you know what? All those things are true. He had one of the hardest schedule, and they have played better towards the end of their season. But the talk has been so strong. Their fans are looking for a change. I'm not so sure there's anything at this point, unless he wins out and plays an exceptionally well in these games, maybe that'll change things. But I see Florida looking for a new coach.
Offensive line has played very well for the Florida Gators down the stretch, running the football a little more consistently. That could keep them in manageable third down situations. When you look at this game overall, I think an over the total would favor the Texas Longhorns and their speed, 48.5. A game that's played similar to the way it was against the Georgia Bulldogs would favor the Florida Gators. When you look at Texas right now, they're averaging well over 4.5 yards per carry. Very good on the defensive side of the ball, especially in third down defense, holding opposing offenses under 36% of their third down opportunities. If Texas scores first, could be a long day for Billy Napier and the Florida Gators. For Coach Terry Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We will see you next week on the Bowden Blitz. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you in week number 12.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.